Hello and welcome to December's Rich Pickings, Fidelity's Asset Allocation Podcast. I'm Richard Edgar, Editor-in-Chief, and with me are some of the multi-asset team, full of festive cheer, I'm sure, looking around the table here. It's welcome back to Charlotte Harrington, Markets Analyst and...
Able to ring church bells.
A campanologist. Eugene Philidethes, Portfolio Manager and...
I own a bouzouki and my intention in 2018 is to learn to play a song by the end of the year.
Full of good intentions as well as festive cheer. And as always, James Bateman, Chief Investment Officer of the Multi-Asset Team and...
Planning to adopt a family of ducks soon.
That's a heartwarming tale. Welcome to you all. James, let's start with the asset allocation. No change again. You're still overweight equities, but none of you is buying. That's a signal in its own right, is it not?
That is, Richard. And I think the interesting thing is we're spending an awful lot of time talking about what we should do and then concluding to do nothing. And that actually probably tells you two things. One is it's Christmas and, you know, we'd all like to do less. And indeed, liquidity is thin, so now is not the time to trade. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, the level of disagreement has increased in the team. And we've said that before, but it's getting more and more. People have very divergent views on almost everything.
Give us an example.
Well, simply on the equity weight. I mean, you know, Charlotte is most definitely at the negative end of equities. I'm probably at the bull end on equities. I'll grant you the last few days have not been amazing for equities. I'd be looking to maintain a reasonable overweight into 2018. Some of the team, Charlotte included, I think would take an opposing view there.
Why not Charlotte?
Yeah, so I think I would be neutral at the moment, really, not taking a negative stance. The fundamentals are clearly very strong, but a bit more concerned around valuations at this point in the year, and also the sort of pricing out of inflation, this idea that central banks won't achieve the rate hikes that they've indicated they will. And actually, I think in 2018, given how strong the growth backdrop is, there's every reason to believe that the Fed will achieve their three hikes next year. And I think the markets will move towards that. And one thing that we've observed and see with equity markets is that part of this re-rating story has been off the back of low yields. So any move higher in yields could potentially cause a bit of a wobble there.
So, Eugene, coming to you, are you with James or with Charlotte or somewhere in the middle?
I'm somewhere in the middle, actually. I think one of the things that I look at is, you know, what are the fundamentals? What's the macro story? And what's the market pricing in? I think there are some markets that definitely look expensive, but there are other markets that I think are quite, possibly quite attractive. If you look at Japan, for instance, it's the one market where the last 5 years, we've seen sort of an earnings-driven growth and appreciation in the market rather than a sort of a multiple expansion, which is definitely the story in most other markets. But it does feel that we've had such a good performance from markets recently that to stay long or to increase that exposure definitely feels uncomfortable, especially with the exceptionally low levels of volatility. There doesn't seem to be anything on the horizon that can derail that, the current environment. But that's the thing, you know, sometimes these events are unforecastable and quite random.
But I think, when they do happen. Eugene, that's the point, that we know the party's going to stop at some point, the music's going to stop. Yeah. We just don't know when. And I think, you know, this is the point, that we're all aware that when it happens, we need to be out of risk assets. We're just all slightly different. I think this is slightly a psychological point about how quickly we become, you know, risk averse when we think maybe momentum will keep things going forward for a while.
I think as well, if you sort of going back to Eugene's point about the different regions, and this year has definitely been characterised by very good performance out of the emerging markets, and part of that has been down to dollar weakness, and that's really been very supportive of risk assets generally. Going into next year, I think there is some evidence that in China in particular we're starting to see a bit of a cooling there on the growth side, and again coming back to the dollar, there are reasons to be a little bit more optimistic about what the dollar can do, and that is a headwind to emerging markets.
We'll come to 2018 in a moment, but let's reflect first. You already have done a little bit on the year that's almost out. We've only got a couple of weeks to go. The S&P is about a fifth higher than it was at the beginning of the year, and you mentioned the very low volatility, Eugene. Let me start with you. Are we where you thought we would be a year ago?
Well, I had a positive view on markets, but my one concern was that we would see a significant correction, which would give us an opportunity to buy, actually, and add to risk the S&P is actually on track to finish a perfect year of 12 positive monthly returns if it finishes up by the end of December, which I don't think has ever happened before. So it just it just goes to show you the extremely benign environment that we've been in. And I think the outcome is probably where I would have seen it at the beginning of the year, but the journey we've taken has been much smoother. I think that's the that's probably my take on it.
James?
Richard, I think this was a hard one to answer because, you know, personally, I'd character myself as a hopeful pessimist. So I begin every year assuming we'll have a bear market and hoping we don't. And, you know, for the last few years...
I've been wrong.
but I've been very happy to be wrong. And, you know, I think it is prepare for the worst and hope for something a bit better. So I think, you know, my base case was markets would be up a bit. Have they been up more than they risk assets up, been up more than I expected? Yes, probably. And as Eugene says, very much with a lot less volatility. You know, as you approach late cycle, you expect volatility to increase. It hasn't. And so I think the biggest surprise has actually been basically being long risk assets and sitting back and relaxing was absolutely the fine thing to do. I don't think any of us would have predicted that.
And Charlotte?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely with Eugene on the journey point around equities, how smooth it's been. If I look at other asset classes, I didn't think EM would be quite as strong as it has been. I thought we'd see some weakness a bit earlier, and that didn't come through. Commodities, oil's probably about where we thought it was at the beginning of the year. It took a bit of time to really get traction in terms of seeing this inventory picture improving, but commodities probably in line with expectations. But it's always hard to answer these questions, I guess, with the benefit of hindsight. It's a bit easier maybe than what you thought at the start.
Yeah, I suppose the surprising one for me is the US dollar, which has been exceptionally weak given the very strong economic growth you've seen in the US, the Federal Reserve tightening monetary policy, and that I think has been one of the major surprises for me this year, which has benefited other asset classes significantly.
So we've got this remarkable low volatility, the almost perfect year. It might end up being a perfect year. And disagreements, James, you're saying, around the table, a surprising level of, or maybe it's not surprising. What are the signs then, as we get to this stage in the cycle, that we should be looking for about the tipping point? Eugene?
I think, if you look at the previous three market peaks, things that definitely... our leading indicators are a widening of spreads in the credit markets, a pickup in volatility, I think you start seeing earnings starting to roll over in equity markets. I think those are the three key things. And at the moment, you know, we have nothing, none of those sort of warning signals are flashing at all.
Sure. I'd add to that, actually. I think one of the things that we can point to as to why volatility has been so low has been how synchronized the global growth upswing has been this year. I think actually as that starts to unravel a little bit, you start to see certain regions slowing down, that's reasons to think volatility can pick up. So that's something to watch on the fundamental side, but also inflation. So it's the sort of 3 month or the run rates that we've seen of late have started to pick up, but year over year numbers still aren't quite coming through. But I think when they do start to come through, that markets will sit up and pay attention to that.
And there's been a lot of talk about inflation, not so much the gradual rise towards central bank targets, but if there might be a surprise, a spike, that really would be a paradigm shift, wouldn't it, James?
It would. And I think, I'm just going to actually back the conversation up slightly to your question about, what to watch, because I think that whilst inflation is one of the answers, I think the most important thing to remember is normally if you're watching it, it's not what causes markets to roll over. And so in a way, it's what's being ignored or what have we not thought about that we should be worried about, and we won't work it out until it happens, because that's typically what causes the start of a bear market. It's not normally that obvious. But on inflation, I think my central case remains that inflation's going to surprise on the upside, and that I'm not sure that's actually going to be bad for risk assets or bad for markets, at least in the short to medium term. But I do think that there is a tolerance among central banks for allowing inflation to run higher than target for a protracted period. They're not necessarily vocalising it, but I think they will. And the risk with that is it can quite quickly get out of control if you're not on top of it.
So it's an interesting period that we're in, and perhaps harder than usual, I don't know, to be guessing where we're going to be in a year's time. I'm not going to ask you where the S&P is going to be or anything like that, but what's your base case for 2018, James?
Thanks, Richard. I think, I'm going to maintain my view that I'm going to prepare for a bear market and hope for something better. My base case actually is markets trend up throughout the year, and it's a dull but okay year for equities.
And Charlotte, you're not as positive about equities as we know as James. What's your base case?
So I think it'd be nice to find an opportunity to buy equities at a lower level. I think there's a lot of a little bit of frothiness anyway in the market. So provided the growth backdrop holds up, that would be an approach to 2018. But meanwhile, I think there are lots of other opportunities within markets, whether it be regions or commodities and currencies where we can be playing. So I've already mentioned the dollar and a negative emerging market view as well. So those are the sorts of things that I would be looking at to try and add value over the next year.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can see a continuation of the current trends with equity markets probably doing quite well on the back of, you know, a good economic backdrop and credit markets also being supported by that. But yeah, expect more volatility possibly in the second half of the year.
Jolly good. Well, I think then that brings us to our game of hot cakes and hot potatoes. What's selling like hot cakes? What would you drop like a hot potato? James?
You know, I'm struggling with that one, Richard, and I think I've said the same thing for some time. My hot cake remains sort of alternatives and particularly something long short, something that's pure alpha, something that's divorced from market beta.
So we've got to keep baking those for you.
We have, probably for quite a long time. And, you know, my hot potato's got to be something in the fixed income markets. And I'm actually probably slightly controversially going to say high yield, because I think it's run its course. The returns have been phenomenal since the financial crisis. I'm getting a little bit worried there.
Eugene?
My hot cake is actually a bit of a niche equity sector in the US called MLPs, which are basically energy infrastructure stocks. The energy equity sector has lagged the energy high yield market, so going back to James's point, and the MLPs are actually have lagged the broader energy sector even further, but are offering very, very high yields, and we think the fundamentals are positive, and you can get paid, you know, 8% in a sector, in an equity sector that has some potential upside. So that's my hot cake.
And your hot potato?
My hot potato would be European government bonds.
Okay, Charlotte.
My hot cake is Mexico. So it's a market that's underperformed in absolute terms over the since, well, most of this year, really, which is hard to find. So you've got some valuation support there, worries around NAFTA, and my base case is that we don't have huge changes there, which I think could be quite positive for the market.
So that's a hot tortilla, perhaps. What's your hot potato?
Hot potato is emerging markets. I think we're seeing some signs that China's rolling over, and I think there are some reasons to think that the dollar can strengthen a bit from here. So both of those tend to be painful for the emerging markets.
Jolly good. Well, we're out of time. I hope that's given you listening an insight into the thinking behind this month's asset allocation. If you'd like more detail, it's published in full on our website. And if you'd like to discuss anything we've covered, just ask your Fidelity contact. Thanks very much indeed to my guests, Charlotte, Eugene and James. And thank you for listening. We'll be back in January. But for now, goodbye.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied on by private investors. This podcast is provided for information purposes only and is intended only for the person or entity to which it is sent. It must not be reproduced or circulated to any other party without prior permission of Fidelity. The value of investments can go down as well as up, so you may get back less than you invest. For other important legal notices, please see our website or the Fidelity SoundCloud or iTunes apps.